Well, we've been in a series called Grace to the Humble, and we're going to continue on in that today. We'll go ahead and turn over to James 4, verse 6, and they'll put it up on the screen too. James 4, verse 6 is the scriptures that we have, kind of our anchor scriptures. James 4, verse 6. It says, He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 10 says, Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Verse 6 says, He gives more grace. Thank God His grace is sufficient. He gives more grace. Says, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Grace is help. Grace is enablement. Grace is the power of God to do what you need. It's His, one aspect of it is unmerited favor, but it's also help and enablement. When you're graced to do something, that means you're enabled, empowered by God Himself to do it. Somebody can be graced in a certain area that maybe you're not graced in. Somebody could be graced in the area of business. Somebody could be graced in the area of music. Somebody could be graced in the area, you know, of things that are medical. God enables us to do things. He calls us to do something, and then He gives us the enablement to do something. He doesn't just call us and then leave us helpless and just to depend on our own abilities. He gives us grace. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. So if you just turn forward a few pages, 1 Peter is right after James. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Verse 6, therefore, because He gives grace to the humble, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And so we've spent some time on this subject, covering different aspects. We're not going to go back through all of it. Let's look real briefly. We'll just put it up on the screen. Philippians 2:5. This is Jesus describing Jesus. Jesus is our example. He is our master. He is the head of the church. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is Philippians 2, verse 5. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God or something to be grasped or to be held on to. In other words, He came. He didn't try to just stay and not come to earth. He came willfully. Verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, or is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus Himself humbled Himself. It says He became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross, for you, for me. That's what He did. And for Him, He is God. For Him to come in the likeness of a man, you talk about humbling yourself. He came in the form of His creation, and He became obedient. Let those people, He gave Himself. The Bible says He laid down His life. They couldn't take His life from Him, but He laid down His life. He became obedient to death, humbled Himself, and allowed Himself to be sacrificed so that you and I could be made children of God. That's why He did it. So he is our example. And because he is the head of the church and he has been exalted, the Bible says that we just read in verse 9, therefore, because he did that, God has also highly exalted him above and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because he did that, he has been exalted. The Bible just said, as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you. But humbling ourselves means to do what he said. And we spend a lot of time on that. You go and we do what he said in his word, what he told us personally. Just like Jesus himself, he became obedient to the point of death. We spent time on this in the garden. He said, not my will, but your will be done. He humbled himself, did what needed to be done. And so that's what we've been given as well. Each of us has a calling, something to do. Now we'll run through Romans 12, 1 through 8. We ran over this, and last week we said we're going to go over this. We got stuck, and we spent some time here in some other areas. And but I believe this time we're going to go through this and go on. But it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now notice that he's talking here about each person having something they're called to do. And they'll have two things. They'll have faith that'll go along with that. Faith comes by hearing. So as God tells you to do something, you're going to have faith that'll rise up. Now you have to act on it, but you'll have faith. Not faith for what God has told somebody else, but faith that he's told you. Because you can only have faith for what you've heard. And number two, you're going to have grace. We'll see that in a minute. You'll have grace, enablement to do what he called you to do. But notice it said, nobody should think more highly. So let no one think more highly than they ought to think. That doesn't mean you shouldn't think highly. It means don't think more highly. What does that mean? Don't get in pride over what he's called you to do, because you can't do anything else more than what he's called you to do. If he's called you to do something, that's what we ought to do. Don't think, well, I'm better than somebody else, because if they're doing what God called them to do, who are we to judge? If he asked a person to do something, you say, well, that's nothing. Well, that's very arrogant. If he called them to do it, then we ought to support them in doing it. But it said, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, talking about, you know, our physical body, you have hands, you have feet, legs, and eyes, and ears. We don't have just one type of body part. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. So we spent some time on that. He's touching on here, likening the body of Christ, God's family, to our physical body, wherein every part does not have the same function. You have different body parts. They have different functions. Thank God we're all not just an eye. We don't have just a bunch of eyes or a bunch of ears. We have different body parts for different function. Well, it's the same thing in the family of God. There are different functions, and each person is called to a different function. So I'm just going to read verse 4 and go on. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. That was what I was mentioning. We have grace that is given to us according to our gift. So having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us. We've been given a gift. With that goes grace. With that goes enablement. In other words, you are not going to have grace to do what somebody else is called to do, but you will have grace, empowerment, enablement to do what God has called you to do. And this is where we're going to spend our time today. God has given us the ability, the strength, everything we need to do what He's called us to do. Wouldn't it be silly for God to ask you to do something and not give you the ability to do it? We know this very well. In the business world, and I haven't been in the military, but what I understand, military-wise, if you're called to a mission, you're given what you need to accomplish that. In the business world, if you're given a task, they don't say, well, you know, you finance it, you figure out how to do it. No, that's the purpose of the business, is to get it done. And if it's a good business, they're going to ask you to do something, but give you the resources you need to get it done. Well, God is no different. He is smarter than men. And if men can figure this out, don't you think God has? So in other words, if God has asked you to do something, He hasn't left you without help. He hasn't called you to do something that you just can't do. That's not Him. In fact, He has given you the grace, the ability to do it, and now it's up to us to agree with Him and do it. Amen. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So he gives some examples here and says, look, if you're called, if you're gifted to prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now that part, we touched on this. You prophesy in proportion to your faith. What does that mean? You're going to be given by the fact that He's called you to do something. So in this sense, if He's called you and gifted you to prophesy, you're going to have a measure of faith to do that based on the fact that He called you. Because when He asked you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17 says. So if He asked you to do something, just by the fact that He asked you, there is grace and enablement there. And by the fact that He asked you, you can have faith to do what He asked you to do. Now, over time, He's going to, if you use what you have, because there's no sense in getting more if we don't use what we have, right? Why do you need more if we haven't used what we have? But if we've used what we have, now, after a while, He's going to ask you to go a little bit further. Now, we know that if we heard what He said, we could have faith to do that. But you're still going to have to exercise your faith. You're still going to have to step out and do it. Now, over time, He's going to ask you to do more. We can still keep growing. And so He's saying, in proportion to our faith can grow over time. And this is the same in every area. So He's using examples. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Every area that He has called somebody in, He has gifted and graced them to do it. You could say if it's in teaching, like the teaching here, but teaching, you know, in whatever area, teaching people, even secularly, there's a gift. Ministering in different ways, business, you could say if you're in business, be a great businessman in proportion to your faith in that business and the grace that's given to you. If it's in the medical field, same thing. Whatever, there are areas that we are graced in. So let's look at Hebrews, go a little bit further today. Look at Hebrews. Let's just put it up on the screen. We won't turn there. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Can we go to the next verse? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We read this. And look, it's referring back to the same thing we read in Philippians. Jesus, who is the head, He's our example. He did the same thing. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. This is saying, it's an example. We have a race set before us to do something. If there's going to be a grace and a faith that goes with that race, but we can only do what we're called to do, and we're looking unto Jesus, who is going to help us to do it. And we're going to do it just like he was an example to us to do it. Now, the thing I want to get into today is that to do what God has called us to do, we are going to have to overcome temptations, like it said, to go in different directions. We're going to have to believe we can do it. We're going to have to be strengthened for the task. And we need to gird ourselves up, believe that God will help us to do it, and that it's a process to get there. Remember, you don't get to your final call, your final destination overnight. There's going to be steps that get us there. But in doing, as we walk this out, we need to understand that it's a process and that he will help us do it. We don't need to be at the end when it's the beginning of the race. Wouldn't it be silly? I've never run a marathon. Maybe some of you have. But for you to be starting a marathon, because this life is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Can we agree on that? Yes. It goes fast. Don't get me wrong. The longer you live, you realize this is short. On the other hand, if you run it like a sprint, you're not going to even make it that far. I mean, it, as short as life is, it's not going to be that long. And we're going to take ourselves out more in one way. It is a marathon. We need to run it as such. But wouldn't it be silly at the starting line, you know, you got this big group of people that are all going to run the marathon, and right away, a few hundred feet down, somebody's whining and complaining because they're not done. Well, just sit tight. It's going to you signed up to run a marathon. When are we going to be done? If you heard, now you hear this all the time when you're going on a trip, especially with small kids. When are we going to get there? You know, how long till we get there? You would expect that out of somebody. But when somebody's coming out of the gate, they're running a marathon, and right away you hear them complaining, well, I thought this wasn't going to be this long. Why aren't we there? You would think something's wrong. What? You signed up for a marathon. What are you talking about? You got, what is it, 26.2? 3? What is it? Help me out. I see it on bumper stickers all the time. But how long is a marathon? 2.2? 26.2 miles. You're a few hundred feet into it. You know, if you're really ready to run that, you didn't just sign up because your friend drug you, that this is going to be a while, right? Well, in life, this race that we're in, it's not a sprint. And what he's called you to do, you don't arrive overnight. And what he's ultimately called you to do takes time to get there. Like we said, what he's called us to do today, we need to use so that we'll be ready and have more. But as we go, we need to understand that it's going to be a process, that he's going to help us, he's going to add to us. Let's read two verses. Let's put up Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 3. It says, I thank my God in every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work in you, he'll complete it. He who has begun a good work in you, we'll complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, until the day of Jesus Christ. So this is a process, and just because you haven't arrived now, just know God has begun something, he's called you to do something, and it's a process, and he'll help you complete it, if we'll look to him, if we'll pull on him. Now, he's not going to do it for you, unfortunately. He will help you. And he will strengthen you. And we're going to read, I believe, multiple verses to this effect. But if we just sit there and go, well, God, you got to do it. Okay, he can't. Unless we cooperate with him. If we're not going to work with him, he can't. Otherwise, he'd make everybody on the earth get saved, go to heaven, we'd be done with this whole thing right now. He needs our cooperation. On the other hand, it's not up to you. Everybody say, it's not up to me. What we give him is our will. and then He helps us. If He asks us to do something, and whether it's in His Word or personally, the strength and the help is there to do it. Now, what do we have to do? If we look and go, there's no way, I can't do it. Well, what can God do with that? If we say, I can't, there's no way, it's impossible. Well, we just stated, there's no way. In our life, then, there's no way. Now, that doesn't mean God won't help us as much as He can, but if we're saying, no, we can't, God is a gentleman. He's not going to push. On the other hand, if we say, I don't see how, this looks impossible to me, I certainly don't feel like it, but God, You're going to help me, and I believe You, and step out, now the power of God will come with us to do it when where our strength wasn't there, where our ability wasn't there, by the fact that He told us to do it and we just agree with Him, that's faith. If we step out and agree with Him, that enables Him and lets Him come in, use His power then to help us. He will do the heavy lifting. What do we need to do? Open the door and let Him do it. That's our job. He will do things that we couldn't dream of. But we need to allow Him to do it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Go ahead and turn over there quick. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now this is Apostle Paul. He's talking to God and asking God to take away this certain thing, and that's another sermon we're not going to get into, the thorn in the flesh. But the thorn in the flesh, short version is, those were people that were coming in to persecute Him. We are not redeemed for persecution. We are redeemed from whatever Jesus redeemed us from, but it didn't include that. So people were coming against Paul wherever he went. They were stirring up junk. And so Paul was like, God, will You take this away? And he said he sought the Lord three times that He would depart from me. And verse 9 is God's response. And He said, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Notice that it's for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's read through that again. Verse 9, and He said, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, My strength, this is God talking, My strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, My help, My enablement, My ability, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You may feel weak, you may feel like you can't do it, but God's grace is sufficient. Everybody say, God's grace is sufficient.
God's grace is sufficient.
Say, God's grace is sufficient for me.
God's grace is sufficient for me.
Well, this applies to you. This applies to the Apostle Paul, but it didn't just apply to him. This is a general principle. That's why it's written here for our benefit. Paul himself was dealing with things, and he was like, God, help me out of this. And God said, My grace is sufficient for you. You may feel weak, but in your weakness, that's where My strength is made most apparent. You rely on Me, and you'll get the job done. Let's keep reading. He said, Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Now notice, this is doing what God has called him to do. It's for Christ's sake. It's not we're suffering persecution because we're being stupid going off and doing things, and well, this is for the glory of God. No, When God has called us to do something, then He will enable us to do it. It says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Sounds like a contradiction, but when you're weak, you say, and when I'm weak in my own power, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So we feel weak, we have a choice to look to Him and to say, God, I believe you. If you told me I could do such and such, then I can do it. And like we said last week, that takes humility, because your pride and your flesh will look at the circumstance and say, there's no way. And you'll have help in doing that. The enemy will come and jump on and tell you, there is no way. Look at such and such. Look at such and such. Look at such and such. Look at the way you feel. There is no way. But if God said there's a way, is He right or not? If He called you to do something, is He right or not? He's right. So then what is our response should be? Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Whether it's His word telling you you can do such, or whether it's specifically what He's called you to do in life, either way, we should look at it. Humility is going to say, you're right, and I can do it. What if we feel weak? Well, then we look and say, wait, good news. I feel weak, but His strength is made perfect in weakness. When I'm weak, oh, then I'm strong. Why? Because now I'm relying on Him. And His strength is way beyond my strength. We don't want to just rely on our strength. We're not going to be able to get what God has called us to do done in our strength. We're going to have to look to Him. John 15:5. Could you please put that up? We don't have to turn there. John 15:5. Says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now you can get stuff done in the flesh here and there, but for the glory of God, if we're going to do what He's called us to do, we can't do it without Him. So the right thing to do is just relax, take the pressure off, look to Him and say, Lord, I'm going to do it. In your strength, I'm going to do it. Not in my strength. I don't see how. That's okay. We fall into good company. The Apostle Paul said, went to him three times to take this away. And then he came to the revelation. God told him that my grace is sufficient for you. And His grace is sufficient for everyone in the sound of my voice today. Everybody say that one more time. God's grace,
God's grace is sufficient
for me. One more time. God's grace is sufficient, is enough, is overflowing, abundantly enough for me. Amen.
Amen.
You believe it?
Yes.
Yes, today that is true. His help is toward you. His heart is toward you. His strength. Think of who we're talking about. God Almighty's strength. His hand is toward you. He said, let's do such and such, and He says, I'll help you do it. His strength. His strength. There are certain men or women in this world that you could think, if only I had their help, that would be awesome. You'd be like, we'd be in it. God Himself is saying, you have my help. His grace, His ability, it's sufficient. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can't get it done anyway, so stop trying. For without me, you can do zero. And you know what pride will say? Well, I can do stuff. People do all this stuff all the time. I can do it. That's pride. And that's not what gets the grace. Humility gets the grace when we say, no, this is right. Is this a true verse or not?
Yeah.
Then we would do well just to agree with it and say, yes, sir, that's right. I can't do anything with you. Show me. Help me. I want to do what you would want me to do. Pride will go, nah, I don't need God. I can do it. Well, you can do something, but we're not going to be able to do what He called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 13:20. Hebrews 13:20 It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will." Notice that. This is a prayer. Because he's saying, now may the God who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. This is something you can pray for yourself. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. Does this sound like anything we've read so far? That he would help us to do what he called us to do. Working in you. Does that sound like he who begun a good work in you would complete it? Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's going to work through you, through Jesus. Jesus is going to help us. The Spirit of God is going to quicken you. We need to agree with him, be helped in him. Can you put that up in the Amplified? I know it's a couple verses down, but 13:20, Hebrews 13:20 in the Amplified. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement, covenant testament." Next verse. "May that God," may Jesus, "strengthen, complete, and perfect, and make you what you ought to be." Have you ever said to yourself, "I'm not what I ought to be"? That's okay. Through Christ, if we'll agree with him, we can keep coming up. And he said he would help us to be what we ought to be. Amen. Amen. He said, "Make you what you ought to be and equip you with everything good, that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus." He'll help us. He'll help us to do it. Colossians 1, verse 9. This is also a prayer. You can pray for those that are close to you, for fellow believers, for yourself. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." 1 Peter 5:10, just giving you a few scriptures along this line. God will strengthen us. He will help us to be everything that he has told us. He wants us, whatever he's called us to do, he's going to help us to do it. 1 Peter 5:10, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while," there is a suffering in God. This is talking about like Paul. Paul suffered in the flesh. He was like, "God, would you get these people off my back? Would you," you know, he went through all these persecutions. But God said, "My grace is sufficient." This is not talking about things that Jesus has already borne for us and already taken, paid the price for. That would be silly. If he paid for it, and he said, "Well, now it's going to help if you pay for it too." But there are things that he is not going to do on this earth. We are the body of Christ, and we're to get his work done. He's not going to do that. He's the head. Now, there will be suffering that goes along with that. You putting your flesh down when you don't know what's going on and saying, "I don't know how, and this is going on, this is going, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done," that is suffering. There is a suffering. But it's not suffering, sickness, or disease, or something that Jesus... How does that help anybody? You can always determine if it's a suffering that is right or not. Is it helping anybody? If it's not, if you're sitting at home sick, how is that helping anybody? It's not helping anybody. If you're getting the gospel out, you know, people, you have missionaries that are over in different countries dealing with certain things, but they're getting the word out and they're putting their flesh down. There's a suffering that goes along with that, but it is godly. It is forwarding the work of God. So it says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So may it's saying, may the God of all grace, if you skip the middle part, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To be established, to be settled, to be strengthened, to do the work that He's called you to do. To do what He's called you to do, said to do in His Word, and whatever He said to do specifically. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. I know I'm just giving you a lot of scripture this morning. We kind of set the framework. These are scriptures you can use. You can go back to them. You can look over them to draw strength from. God will strengthen you to do what He has called you to do. Live day by day. When we feel like we don't have strength, we can say, no, His grace is sufficient. We can look at these other scriptures. Verse 16, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now may our God, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us, and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That God would establish you and strengthen you and help you to do what He's called you to do. Remember, we're talking about God has called you to do something. He's asked you to do something. And we're in the general scope, we're talking about being humble and saying, yes, I'll do that. Well, now as you do that, you're going to be tempted to believe you don't have the strength to do that. Humility will say, He said I did. He said He'd help me. He said He would establish me. He said He will help me and strengthen me in every good work. Every good word. He'll comfort me. He's going to enable me to do what He said to do. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. This is, verse 13 is a very familiar verse of Scripture to some. Philippians 4, 11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice the last verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I am weak, then I am strong. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. Through His strength. Not in my own. When we feel like, no, there's no way, then we need to say, I can do this. In and of my own strength? No. Through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go ahead and say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say this, I can do whatever God called me to do. I can do whatever He said I can do. I can do whatever His Word tells me I could do. Through Christ, who strengthens me. See, it's through Christ. It's through Him. We can do it through Him. A humble person, if we're acting in humility, when we push up against a wall that says we can't, when our feelings are telling us we can't, circumstances tell us we can't. Our history tells us we can't. When we come up, a humble person will say, you told me I can. I may be in myself, I can't do it, but through Christ, I can. See, this is different than just a power, a pep talk, the world positive thinking. This is, yes, it's positive, but it is leaning on the one who has all power. That's the big difference. Because through him, when we are weak, then we're strong. Remember what we read in Corinthians. His grace is sufficient. That means it's enough. That means it's enough. His strength is enough. His strength is more than enough for us to do it. Hallelujah. His strength is more than enough to get you over the hump. It's more than enough. His grace is sufficient for you. Now, today, there is nothing that is too much. There is nothing that he can't help us overcome when we are in his will, when we are going toward what he wants us to do. If he asked us to do it, there is nothing that can stand in our way. We can do it by his strength. Through his strength, through Jesus Christ who strengthens us, through his grace that's sufficient, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It's more than enough.
More than enough.
Hallelujah. So anything that would say, no, you can't. No, that's just, that's not possible. That contradicts the Bible. Pride will say, well, yeah, I don't see that. That's pride. Humility will say, I don't care what's happened before. I'm going over with him. I can do it with him. With him, all things are possible. This is not a fairy tale. This is not wishful thinking. This is the word of Almighty God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the real world, with things that are coming against us, with things that we don't see how. We know what he said. We know what we've heard. We see in the word. We know what he's told us. But then we see this realm. And that's where we have the choice to say, nope, what you begun in me, you're going to complete it. I'm going over. We're going to do it. With your help, I'm going over. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your own strength, in his strength. Is his strength limited?
No.
No, it's not. Is his power, is his ability limited?
No.
So when we feel weak, when we feel like it's too much, it's too big, that's when we tap into his help. And his help has no limit. This is good news. This is good news because he is unlimited. We may be limited, but when he has told us and asked us to do something, there is no limit to the help. So our job is just to agree with what he said. Just to say, yes, I can do it. Yes, that's possible. Not a self-help thing, not a positive thinking, wishful thinking. Oh, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. No, I can do it through Christ. No, I can do it in the power of his might. There's a huge difference there. There is a huge difference. Us going and saying, Lord, I don't see how. Lord, I've tried. Lord, I saw this. Lord, I don't feel like this. Lord, I see this circumstance. And through that, going, but you said, and your help is sufficient, but your ability is more than enough. So I'm going over. That is agreeing with God, Almighty God, and He will help us. He will bring us over. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you take just a couple more scriptures? I'm winding this up, but I don't want to just cut it off and then... Ephesians 3:14 says, for this reason, this is another prayer. You can pray for other people, you can pray for yourself. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His might, or strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That you would be, what? Strengthened. Strengthened. Strengthened to do what He has called you to do. Isaiah 41. Let's read Isaiah 41, then we'll go back to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I, what? I will strengthen you. I will. I will. I will. I don't feel like you will. He said He would. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 40:29 says, He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise God. Praise God. One more. 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is, again, the Apostle Paul. All the things that he went through, and even right before this, he's talking about being knocked down but not being knocked out. Going through these things, he said, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. Everybody realize, we all realize, this body is decaying. That's not a bad confession. You can confess it, you cannot confess it. Over time, your body, if Jesus doesn't come back, it's your body, my body, it's all going in the grave. Can we all agree on that? Huh? Is your body, if Jesus doesn't come back for another 150 years, is your body going to end up in the grave? Can we all agree on that? Everybody okay? If you think that you're still going to be standing 150 years from now, we could have a conversation after this service. Because we have some other issues. Now, you believe that you're strong and that while you're on this earth, you have a strong body, but it's not. If you live to be 120, you're not going to have the same body as when you were 20. Does everybody understand this? It's not going to be the same. I don't care how much you believe. You're not going to look the same. But thank God we're going to get a new body. And that one will be built to last. So we don't want this. You do not want taking this body. It'd be like, you know, taking an old 1950s car, and this is the one you're going to drive around, you know, into the 2200s and the 2500. No, nobody wants that car. You don't want it. Unless it's a classic, you still don't really want to get around in that thing. No, you do not want to keep your body forever, the one we have. We're going to get a new one. But it says, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what?
Temporary.
Everybody said, whatever is going on now, go ahead. Whatever is going on now in my life is temporary. I don't care if it lasts 10 years, it's temporary. It's temporary, but the things which are not seen are what?
Eternal.
When we get the right mindset and realize who we're serving and His strength and His power, no matter what's in front of us, the Bible says we don't lose heart. We keep in mind this is light. Whatever we're dealing with, it's light, and God will strengthen me to go over, to go through, to go around, whatever. If He called me to do it, He'll help me to do it. By His strength, by His grace, I can. A humble person will say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, we're going through, here we go. And whatever it is, it's light, we can handle it, we're going to win.
Amen.
Glory to God.